Welcome back to Pop Culture Podcast. My name is Spencer, and for those of you who are new or just don't know, this podcast is an audio compilation of my videos on YouTube, which you can find if you go onto the search bar of YouTube and type in at the Film Punch. Should find my channel from there. Not only can you get the video form of the stuff I cover over here, but you can get it earlier over on the channel, so highly recommend going over there. Not only should you go over there to watch the video form and get it earlier, but also the podcast will be ending around episode 200, so going forward, all the content will be over there. So please go subscribe if you don't mind doing so. Once again, it's at the Film Punch on YouTube, which is, by the way, it's the same handle for Facebook and Instagram as well if you want to go follow me there, at the Film Punch. But yeah, as for today, I will be reviewing season one of Wednesday, which is a new Netflix original show, which stars Jenna Ortega as Wednesday Adams. It's a new take on the character, in the mythology, I guess you could say. Excuse me. But yeah, gonna be reviewing that first season. No real spoilers or anything for that, so if you haven't seen any of the episodes, you should be good to listen. After that, I will be ranking Phase 4 of the MCU. I will be talking a little bit of spoilers about some stuff from that, so if you don't really want any spoilers from the MCU in general, maybe just don't listen to that second part. Maybe just listen to my review for Wednesday, or maybe you just don't care about Marvel. Go ahead and click off the video, or not the video, but the podcast, after my Wednesday review. Do whatever you want to do, really. If you want to listen to all of it, listen to all of it. But yeah, I mean, you do you. If you want to click off at any point, that is your decision. But yeah, before I get into any of my topics for today, I do want to thank today's sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Audible, which, if you don't know, has a great selection of audiobooks, originals, and podcasts. And right now, if you go to www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast, you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Plus, which lets you listen to a selection of audiobooks, originals, sleep tracks, meditation programs, and podcasts. Or you can get a free 30-day trial of Audible Premium Plus, which gives you all of that from Audible Plus, as well as one free title per month from an extended selection of bestsellers and new releases, and you own those, so that's awesome. So yeah, if you want to go get that 30-day free trial of Audible, that website is www.audibletrial.com/popculturepodcast. Now on with the show.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Alright, so the first season of Wednesday is available now on Netflix. It's a new Netflix original series based on the character of Wednesday Adams, created by Charles Adams. You also have the other Adams family family members, I guess, sprinkled throughout this first season. And I do say first season because I'm not sure if there are plans to pick this up for any more seasons after this. Nothing has been confirmed to my knowledge, but I could be wrong. Comment down below if you know something I don't. But yeah, whether or not I'd be willing to watch another season, I will get to that in a bit. But yeah, the series is created by Alfred Goh and Miles Millar, executive produced by Tim Burton. I believe three episodes of this first season are also directed by him, which you can kind of see some of his flavor, some of his DNA. That's a weird way of saying it, but you know what I mean, like, some of his personality, I guess, some of his trademarks sprinkled throughout the first season. But for the most part, it does feel a little bit different from things that you usually come to know from Tim Burton, which makes me wonder how much of a hand he actually had in creating the series, which I'll kind of get to in a second here. But let me give you the description of this show in case you don't really know what you're getting into with this. But here we go. A sleuthing, supernaturally infused mystery charting Wednesday Adams, her years as a student at the Nevermore Academy. Wednesday attempts to master her emerging psychic ability thwart a monstrous killing spree that has terrorized the local town and solved the supernatural mystery that embroiled her parents 25 years ago, all while navigating her new and very entangled relationships at Nevermore. So yeah, it's kind of like a coming of age kind of teen. Yeah, I mean, the best way I can describe it is a CW show. I mean, there's so much more I want to say, but I want to get to some of the cast members before I say anything, honestly. But yeah, obviously we have Jenna Ortega playing Wednesday Adams. Overall, I think she does great in this show. I think this show, what sets it apart from other adaptations of Wednesday Adams is that I feel like in other movies and shows, we haven't really had a whole lot of character development with Wednesday Adams. We haven't really seen a whole lot from her. I feel like we see a little bit more from her in Adam's Family Values, but it's been a little while since I've seen that one, so I'd have to watch that and refresh my brain. But for the most part, she's just been kind of the kid character. The focus has always been more on the adults, and we get to see more from her now, which I very much like. And Jenna Ortega, I feel, is the perfect person to do it. I love her performances and pretty much everything I see her in. I think she's fantastic. But we also have Gwendolyn Christie as Principal Larissa Weems. Gwendolyn Christie, first thing I think of when I think of her, and probably a lot of other people as well, at least if you're, you know, in my kind of age group and you're not, I don't know, like 14, this show is TV 14, Game of Thrones. I remember her from Game of Thrones. Forget her exact character name in that show, but she was great on that. But she's great in this as Principal Larissa Weems. Yeah, she's fantastic. We also have Emma Myers as Enid Sinclair, the roommate to Wednesday in this show when she gets to the school. She is a werewolf who hasn't quite wolfed out yet. She is very energetic, very colorful, complete opposite of Wednesday Adams. We also have Hunter Doohan as Tyler Galpin, one of the normal dudes in the town that they live in. And a lot of the time, the Nevermore people are seen as outcasts, and the townspeople don't really like them. But this guy in particular seems to take a liking to Wednesday. But he is not the only one. We also have Percy Hines, Hines White, as Xavier Thorpe. He is another person who kind of has a little bit of a crush on Wednesday. So a little bit of a love triangle there, which, honestly, I feel like in a lot of these types of shows, it's just, like, basic. We see that kind of shit in here. But is it necessary? I don't know. They're sorry. I'll save what I have to say for a minute here. Also, if you see me doing this, I'm just scratching my nose. I just shaved, so I'm, like, all itchy in my nose now. But, yeah, we also have Jamie McShane as Sheriff Donovan Galpin, the father to Tyler. Who else do we have here? Ricky Lindholm as Dr. Valerie Kinbot, the local therapist in the town. We have Joyce Sunday as Bianca Barclay. If this is the character I'm thinking about, she is a siren, actually, which, if you don't know, sirens from Greek mythology, typically meant to draw people in and kill them. But yeah, she's a cool character in here. Kind of set up to be a bit of a mean girl, but, you know, everybody in this show, for the most part, kind of has a character arc that I particularly enjoy for the most part. We also have Georgie Farmer as Ajax Petropoulos. Actually, I think that's one of the not as important characters. Oh, wait, no, he is. I believe he's what they call a stoner, which you can already tell what kind of show this is, what kind of story this is based on the, like, different cliques in here. But he's what's called a stoner. Basically Medusa, you know, turns people to stone. So he always wears a beanie, always looks like a hipster. Yeah, that's all I can describe it as. We also have Christina Ricci. A lot of people's, you know, Wednesday, when they think about Wednesday, me in particular, when I think about Wednesday, I think of Christina Ricci from Adam's Family and Adam's Family Values. I'm not sure the exact years of those movies, but for those of you who like Adam's Family, you know which ones I'm talking about. But yeah, cool to have her in here. Don't know if I said her character name or not, but it's Marilyn Thornhill. She's a bit of a caretaker around, what's the name of it? Nevermore. Yeah, she's fun in here. We also have Tommy Earl Jenkins as Mayor Noble Walker, obviously in Mayor. Who else here? Musa Mustafa, which, by the way, dope ass name. Eugene Oettinger is the character he plays. And then let's get into the Addams Family, the people that we come to know and love. We have Catherine Zeta-Jones playing Morticia Addams. We have Luis Guzman, I believe that's how you pronounce it, as Gomez Addams. We have Isaac Ordonez as Pugsley Addams, my bad. We have Fred Armisen as Uncle Fester. I think there's one more, maybe two. Oh, Victor Dora Bantu as Thing and George Barcia as Lurch. For the most part, I think everybody does a good job as their particular characters. Wednesday in particular, I mean, we spend the most time with her, so we get the most from Jenna Ortega as that character. So I think overall she is the best. But I do really like Catherine Zeta-Jones as Morticia Addams in the show. They give her a lot to do in here. They give a little bit to do for Gomez Addams, but even more so when it comes to Morticia, they kind of have this whole plot in there where Wednesday and her mother are kind of, you know, they go back and forth and they argue a lot and they don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And, you know, it's a very kind of typical, you know, mother-daughter relationship that we've seen in a lot of movies and shows, especially, you know, if I give an example, Turning Red, you know, what else? Everything Everywhere All at Once. You know, a lot of types of movies and shows that have that similar plot. But and here especially, it just gives a little bit more depth to the character of Wednesday that we haven't really seen before. It makes her more of a human rather than just, you know, just kind of a joke. I mean, for the most part, I mean, the Addams Family is supposed to be fun. This show is dark. I mean, it deals with dark themes, not just with monsters or, like, you know, whatever it might be on that end with the supernatural aspects, but also like murder, also like a little bit of depression. You know, there's a lot of dark themes that are tackled in this show, a lot of surprising dark themes. And, you know, I would say it's probably even darker than any other Addams Family movie or show has ever been. You know, not in the sense that it's dark, like, oh, Halloween fun, like, you know, bats and, ooh, I'm dreading my existence and whatnot. Not that kind of dark, like, oh my God, people are dying and shit like that. Like, kids are dying and stuff like that. It's like, this show is crazy. This show is, and there's a lot going on, I'm not going to lie. I feel like at this point I can go ahead and get into my notes. I'm going to say this right off the bat. I am intrigued to see where they would go with the second season, because in this first season alone, I feel like they tackle at least two seasons worth of stuff in here. There's like two to three villains in this show. Are all of them like the central villain? No, but they all feel like they could be villains of their own central season. And it's just like, you're doing all of this in one season, maybe because you're worried you're not going to get picked up for another season. But at the same time, they do things in there, like especially with Bianca's character, they do something with her mother that they kind of set up for another season when they don't even have a confirmed second season picked up. It's just like, you're getting a little ahead of yourself, you know, in terms of setting things up for the future, but you're also getting ahead of yourself for in terms of like the particular season you're working on right here. There's so much going on in here, and for the amount of things that are going on in this first season, a lot of the episodes just kind of feel like filler with a little hint of, you know, important plot information. for the most part, it is your typical teen kind of drama show revolving around Wednesday and her weird antics and whatnot. I won't lie, it took me a little bit to get through. There were days where I just didn't watch it at all. I don't know, a lot of those, I mean, it started off pretty strong. I was excited in the beginning. By episode two, I think I was starting to kind of like, it's all right. By episode three, I think I got through episode three and then I stopped. But at that point, I was just like, all right, I'm getting kind of tired of this. It was intriguing at first and I was having fun. And then as it went on, you know, I kept getting a little bit more bored. But then, especially towards the ending, like the last three episodes, There's one episode in particular where, and I'm not spoiling anything huge here, but when, the family comes to visit Nevermore, to visit their kids at the school, that episode in particular, I would say, is actually the best episode of the whole season. They tackle a lot of things in that episode when it comes to Morticia and Wednesday's character that I absolutely loved. Had little to nothing to do with the overall plot of the show, I guess, in terms of like figuring out the mystery. But in terms of like the character development, it's something that I absolutely loved. In fact, I would say the story arc they give Wednesday in this show, in terms of like, trying to change as a person or like evolve, as she would say, that's the best part of this show for me. And that's the reason why I would come back for another season. That's because I can't wait to see where they would go with her story if they do pick them up for another season. Because at this point, like, I'm just so curious on how much her character could evolve. And are people gonna love it? I don't know. Depends on if you're a really big Addams Family fan. I feel like there might be some really big Addams Family fans out there that, and by the way, I barely looked at my notes yet, and I'm already like almost 13 minutes in. But yeah, some Addams Family fans I feel like are really gonna like this. They're gonna like the fresh take on it, and they're gonna like some of the adaptations that they give to the characters, especially with Luis Guzman. With his character, no offense to the actor at all, but he's a lot more, accurate to how the original comics were. Whereas, like, he kind of had crooked teeth and whatnot, and, wasn't the most handsome looking man. At times, even where you're like, Morticia, really? Like, come on, really? But in the, there's some back, I'm gonna call them backstory. I mean, there is backstory, but flashbacks. There are flashbacks in the show that show younger versions of Gomez and Morticia, and he was a handsome devil, I will say. And obviously, she was beautiful too. But yeah, let me see here. Trying to see if I have any particular notes. Throughout the show, I mean, it makes you think everybody could be involved at one point. And I mean, I don't really want to give anything away, but at times it almost feels like everything, like everybody is involved. And they do things to like kind of subvert your expectations, but it also does things where it's like, well, that means this character still kind of did that, and that's still kind of a shitty thing of them to do. So like there are times where it's like, oh, this character isn't necessarily supposed to be the villain, but they're doing kind of shitty things to the point where I'm like, am I supposed to root for you? Am I supposed to like you? Mainly with Gwendolyn Christie's character. I feel like she gave Wednesday way too much of a hard time in this show. I don't know. I don't want to go much further than that. I just don't want to like spoil anything huge or anything. I mean, not that there's like anything huge to spoil there in that particular aspect, but it's just like things in hindsight that I think about where I'm like, well, if this person's, this person and this person's this person, why would this person do this and this person do this? I don't get this. I don't know. There's some weird character motivations in the show that seem to just kind of be there for the sake of kind of subverting expectations and trying to take Wednesday off of her course just within the writing. Not because it's like some master plan. It's just because, oh, for the convenience of the story, we're just gonna write that in. And there's a lot of that in there, for sure. I won't lie to you, this feels like a CW show, in terms of the writing. The visual effects overall, not bad, surprisingly. And they have the whole thing with, thing, the hand. And I saw a picture, not sure whose Instagram or Facebook it was, but it was like a case full of hands. And I'm wondering, like, how did they do that, actually? I'm wondering that even for like the older films, like, how did they do that with the hand? I'm very curious to like see the behind the scenes of that. But even Thing in here, like Thing in the other Addams Family movies that I have seen, he's a fun character and he has personality. And this even more so, like you love Thing in this season. I just, ugh. In fact, I would say he's one of my favorite characters. I love Thing. I mean, you can't not love Thing in this show and in general. Sorry, I just hit my paper there. But yeah, let me see here. I mean, all the adult actors do really good. It's some of the kid actors at times, I really want to call them kids because most of them are probably my age. But like a lot of these kind of student characters tend to fall short just a little bit. But at the end of the day, I did have a lot of fun with a lot of their characters. Oh my God, my nose is so freaking itchy. But yeah, Tyler, he was fine. Xavier, he was pretty cool for the most part. Bianca kind of came around the end for me. I liked her for the most part. But Enid is the one that I love overall. She's just awesome. I feel like I feel like I could get along with her for the most part. Yeah, she seems kind of match my energy at times. Yeah, I mean, overall, she's one of the characters I root for most, which is something I had difficulty with in the beginning, is really rooting for any characters or really liking any characters. But over time, they definitely grew on me. Like I have notes in here where I'm kind of trashing on certain things, and I'm just in hindsight, no, I kind of like that in the end. I mean, is it a perfect show? Not by any means. I think there's plenty of Addams Family like diehard fans that are absolutely gonna hate the show and just tear it to shreds, and I can kind of understand why. I mean, does it have the best writing? Not necessarily, but it's fun for the most part. I mean, oh. Again, there's a lot of those filler episodes that just feel like they're there to fill time. Do I think they needed 8 episodes? No, I think they probably could have reduced it down to 6. I mean, there's some goofy things that they do, especially with like the Hyde monster in here. Hopefully just by saying the name of the monster, that doesn't give too much away, but yeah, he's crazy. There's some goofy shit they do in here, but I don't know. They find a good balance for the most part. At the end of the day, it really is just like the kind of character stuff that I really do like in this show. But yeah, Nevermore in this show, basically, it's a combination of Hogwarts, the X-Mansion, a dash of Twilight, a pinch of Riverdale, and I feel like there was something else too. And a pinch of Percy Jackson just for a little spice there. Pretty much all the typical shit you've seen before. It's a school full of people with powers, essentially. You know, some of them being supernatural, some of them kind of being more, you know, mystical, and you know, whatever it might be. It feels like a lot of things we've seen before. Does it feel completely original? Not really. There's just so many freaking things going on in this show that it's almost a little hard to keep up. It gets a little convoluted at times, and then it feels like they're kind of repeating themselves at times too. I don't know. Let me look at some of my other notes here. Yeah, it feels like a lot of things I've seen before kind of wrapped up into one. Again, it really does have a very CW tone to it. You know, it reminds me of shows like Riverdale where it'll start off seemingly kind of normal for the most part, but I have a feeling even for a show like this, it's just gonna get crazier and crazier. And I don't know if I'm necessarily ready for that. But there's a lot of really fun music in this show, especially the scenes where Wednesday is like playing the violin. I love that shit. And past a certain point, they just don't really do it anymore, which really disappointed me. But you know, there's a whole scene where she's playing I See a White Door, and yeah, you know that one. And then there's another one where she was like playing outside in the town, and maybe you guys have seen it. I think it popped up in a preview, which is unfortunate because I honestly think that's the best scene of the whole freaking first season, is this scene where she's playing the violin. I don't know what song it is, but I need to look it up after recording this because I need to watch that scene again. That scene is very well made and very fun, very energetic. Just oof, the music really pumps you up there. I'm a big music person when it comes to like movies. I like a good, I like a good soundtrack. I like a good, you know, just I like it to go along with whatever's going on. Speaking of going along with whatever's going on, the whole yeah, there's callbacks, or maybe not callbacks, but like little Easter eggs to diehard Addams Family fans. And the problem with those sometimes is they can feel forced, but this in particular is actually added into the plot. So yeah, I'll let that, you know, be a little mystery for you guys to see what that means, I guess, if you watch the show. or if you've already watched it, you know what I'm talking about. But I like that they have those little Easter eggs and they integrate it into the plot rather than just, you know, having it be an Easter egg for the sake of an Easter egg. So that's pretty cool. Flip my page here, see if I have anything else. Yeah, again, I don't really know how diehard Addams Family fans will feel. I feel like there's probably gonna be a big divide. For the most part, from people I've heard, you know, who've watched it, who don't really have a whole lot of connection or ties or really feelings about it, have seemed to like it for the most part. So I think there's plenty of people that will enjoy it. But it really comes down to like the people who actually like Addams Family and see how they feel about it. For me personally, I haven't seen enough of it. Like I've watched those two like classic movies that people think of. Can't even, I mean, obviously the ones with Christina Ricci in them. I've seen both of those. It's been a while since I've seen the second one, The Addams Family Values, but I've watched the first one around Halloween, just didn't do a review for it. But yeah, those are my only real context for Addams Family. Other than that, it's just like things I've kind of heard from other people. So if you're a diehard Addams Family fan or just really an Addams Family fan in general, I would love to know what you think about this show, whether you love it or hate it. Yeah, in general, if you have watched this show, let me know whether you loved it or hate it down in the comments below. And if you haven't watched it, are you planning on watching it? Why or why not? But let me just check and make sure I don't have any other notes. I don't think I do. Oh, by the way, there is a twist in here that I did call towards the end. There, I didn't call it immediately because it wasn't something they were like completely setting up from the very beginning. I mean, they kind of were, but it's not something they were making completely obvious up until a certain point. It might not be obvious for everybody, but by the time it came up, I was just like, oh my God, I know exactly what they're about to do. And sometimes predictability isn't bad. Like with Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery, I in that review I said that I guessed who the killer was in that movie. That's a murder mystery. I guessed, you know, who that was. And here I kind of guessed what was about to happen. And you know, in Glass Onion, even though I knew who it was going to be, the reveal still worked for me. And here, not necessarily, not really. I mean, it was still crazy. I was like, oh, yep, oh shit, yep, I called it. But at the end of the day, it still wasn't like a satisfying reveal, even though I still knew it, you know? So yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of downsides about this show for me personally. It does feel like one of those shows that's probably better for the demographic it's aiming for, which is like 14 to maybe 17-year-olds. I'm 22, so maybe it's just not for me personally, but I feel like there's probably people around my age or older that probably like this show as well. So really just depends on the person. By the way, I have a new streaming service, show slash movie ranking system, which I'll talk about in a sec. But yeah, personally, this one just didn't really do a whole lot for me. But yeah, to this ranking system here, I do have a ranking system for movies. But yeah, the streaming service show slash movie ranking system. Let me run you through it real quick. At the very top, best one, we got premium subscription, makes your subscription cost seem like a bargain. Below that, we have standard subscription, perfect for a streaming service. Below that, we have basic subscription. Perfectly adequate, but not quite what you're paying for. Tier below that, we have basic subscription with ads, the type of content or the type of mediocre content that streaming services tend to put out on a very large scale. The types of movies that we get, like, I don't know, like 20 times a year from Netflix. You know what I'm talking about, like Kissing Booth, all that type of dumb shit that I personally don't like. Tier below that, we have free trial. Worth watching if it's free. Highly recommend using as background noise. And the final tier below that is cancel your subscription. So bad you should cancel your subscription. Also consider asking for a refund. As for Wednesday, this first season at least, I think I would give it. I think, I don't know. I'm between a basic subscription and a standard subscription. Because is this the type of stuff you typically pay for Netflix? Yes. Netflix is a little pricey, especially if you're going without ads and if you're trying to go with a good version. I don't know. Personally, I think I'm going to have to put this show in... Oh, frick. All right, I'm going to put it in basic subscription, all right? I had to go with one. I don't think it's a great show. I'm intrigued to see where it might go next, but at the end of the day, it's nothing groundbreaking for me. It's not necessarily why I would buy, a subscription to Netflix in particular. Would I cancel my subscription over it? No. Would I pay for a subscription for it? No. That being said, I think I did actually pay for a subscription to watch this show, but that's just for me personally, since I like to review these types of things for my channel. I also bought it for Glass Onion, but I didn't realize that was coming out next month, not this month. So, yeah, figured, well, might as well watch Wednesday. I did, finally got through it. Might not be reviewing it on a Wednesday, but hey, there you go. Already asked you before if you liked it or not, and to comment down below, and if you've watched it or not, to comment down below, all that kind of stuff. Really, in general, comment down below with anything you want to say. I typically write back depending on what you guys say, as long as it's appropriate and not rude, which I really haven't had on the channel yet. So, yeah, thank you all for watching. Leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload, and I will see you in the next video where I will review a movie or show. See you later. Alright, so with the release of the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, Phase 4 of the MCU has come to a close, so I am here today to rank all of the movies and shows from Phase 4 of the MCU. Only thing not included in here is the I Am Groot series of shorts from Disney+. I watched those, they were fun, but at the end of the day I was just like, I don't really know where I'd rank that. I mean, it's not bad by any means, but it's just like, there's not much to it. So I didn't add that to the ranking, but the special presentations are on here, all the movies are on here, all the shows are on here. So yeah, let's have fun. But before I get to the actual ranking, let's talk about the movies and shows from Phase 4, starting with the first one, which is a TV show, WandaVision, which started in January of 2021. Then we have The Falcon and the Winter Soldier from March of 2021. We have Loki Season 1 from June 2021. Then the first movie of Phase 4 came out on July 9th of 2021, Black Widow. After that, it was What If, the first season of that, which came out in August of 2021. After that, the release of Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings on September 3rd of 2021. Then the release of Eternals on November 5th of 2021. Then we have Hawkeye on Disney+ for November of 2021. Then to cap off 2021, we have on December 17th, Spider-Man No Way Home. To kick off 2022 for Marvel, we have Moon Knight coming in March. Then we have Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness on May 6th of 2022. We have Ms. Marvel in June of 2022. Then in July on the 8th, we have Thor Love and Thunder. Then it's She-Hulk Attorney at Law, which came out in August of 2022. After that, the first Marvel special presentation, Werewolf by Night, which came out on October 7th of 2022. The last film of Phase 4, Black Panther Wakanda Forever, came out on November 11th of 2022. And the final release of Phase 4 of the MCU, the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, which just came out on November 25th. So yeah, without further ado, let's rank all these movies, shows, special presentations. Yeah, hopefully you guys don't hate me after some decisions here. But yeah, 17 in total, starting with 17 from the worst to the best. We have Eternals. I hate this movie. I absolutely hate this movie. Out of all the Marvel movies, this is the only one I've seen once. I think every other Marvel movie I've seen more than that. But this is the only movie I went to the theaters, watched it once. I was like, didn't mind it too much, you know, watching it that first time. And then the more I watched like reactions, the more I heard people talk about it, the more I watched scenes, the more I just hated this movie. It's one of my least favorite movies of all of the MCU. You know, it's super stylized. It has a great cast, but at the end of the day, that's kind of all it is. So yeah, that's why Eternals has to be at the bottom of the list. At number 16, we have Black Widow. I mean, we all wanted a Black Widow movie for so long, and this one just kind of feels like a little too late. Does it have a fun cast in it? Yes, I like Yelena. I like Alexi. You know, Natasha, obviously, she's fun. We like Scarlett Johansson in this role, but when it comes down to it, was the writing on this one the best? Not really. So yeah, that's why it's at number 16. At number 15, we have She-Hulk Attorney at Law. This is one I was, debating on putting up a little bit higher, putting it a little bit lower. I wasn't necessarily sure. But I felt like having it at 15 felt right, because at the end of the day, I don't hate that show. I had fun with it. But is it the best show in hindsight? Absolutely not. I'd pretty much rather watch any other Marvel show than this one. But that's not to say it's like the worst thing I've ever watched, because it, again, really isn't the worst thing. I've watched much worse. So, yeah, it's not bad, but it's not the best. And a lot of episodes feel like filler, and by the end of it, it's just a little too crazy for me, and they went a little too meta. You know, I like meta jokes and stuff like that, but I don't know, at times it felt like they took it a little too far in there. There's even times in Deadpool where they take it a little too far with the meta-ness. But like, in here, it's just, I don't think I'm in the minority of people not liking this show. I'm sure there's very, very few people that actually like She-Hulk. So yeah, on to 14, we have Moon Knight, which I was debating on putting lower because it's a show that I just really didn't care much about. Oscar Isaac was great in the role, playing so many different roles in the show. But at the end of the day, I think this one falls into the same problem that a lot of other Marvel shows fall into, which is not leaving yourself enough time by the end. You give yourself so many episodes, and then it feels like by the second to last episode, especially in Moon Knight, that you're like, well, how are they going to get to the point of actually wrapping this up and making it feel conclusive and making it feel satisfying? Because there's just so much left to address, and these episodes aren't long enough to do everything. And I don't feel like that finale really gave itself enough time, much like a lot of other MCU shows. But this one, even more so, I just didn't really care for the finale of this one. But yeah, I'm sure a lot of people love Moon Knight, and I can see why, but it's just not my favorite. Number 13, I have Werewolf by Night, a very interesting thing that Marvel tried, very new, very fresh, that I very much appreciate them doing. I love the whole black and white kind of classic monster movie type of thing that they were going for. It's very fun to watch, especially for the Halloween season. Would I watch it around Halloween next year or the year after? Probably, but you know, this is another one of those that just doesn't do a whole lot for me in hindsight. Maybe we'll see more from his character going forward. Maybe we'll see more from Elsa Bloodstone. But as for right now, just, I don't think that special gave them enough time to really introduce those characters and flesh them out quite enough to, like, really, really care about them, you know? So, yeah, that's why I have to put Werewolf by Night at number 13. At number 12, I have What If Season 1. Another show slash movie slash just Marvel project that didn't really do a whole lot for me, but isn't necessarily bad. You know, this one, I like the animation aspect in the show. I like the aspect of seeing different outcomes and different possibilities throughout the Marvel Universe. And I'm very excited to see where they go with the second season. But when it comes to this one, you know, it's another one of those shows that just leaves a little more for me to be desired. But at the end of the day, this one still is fun. Just not groundbreaking for me. Below What If at number 11, I have Thor: Love and Thunder. I know a lot of people would probably have this much lower on their list. But for me, I think there's still a lot of fun to be had with the movie. I mean, there's still a great cast. There's a lot of fun moments. Excuse me, terrible time to get hiccups. But there's a lot of fun moments throughout the film. The funny moments do, for the most part, kind of land. It's just the villain that I don't think they fleshed out quite enough. You know, the tone of the film, that they can't take really anything seriously at all. And I hate that kind of shit. Yeah, I mean, my complaints about the movie are a lot of other people's complaints. So, you know, I don't like the nonstop jokey tone of the movie where they just can't slow down for 1 minute and just, like, take anything seriously. I mean, they kind of do for a little bit, but I don't know. It's always just joke fests with Thor nowadays, but at the end of the day, it's still a fun movie, I guess. So, I mean, it's one of those movies I'd put on in the background and just kind of, like, watch every now and then. So, yeah. Number 10, I have Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, a movie I very much hated the first few times I watched it because of certain decisions they made in the movie. Do I take back what I said? Not completely, but I'm a little bit less harsh on this film than I was when I first saw it. I do like the kind of horror tone of the film. There's a lot of fun to be had with characters like America Chavez and seeing stuff like the Scarlet Witch be as crazy as she is in that movie. And, you know, there's some good moments with Doctor Strange as well and seeing some multiversal stuff. One of my biggest complaints with the movie is that it's called Multiverse of Madness and you're mainly only spending time in two universes. And I feel like they could have done a little bit more with that title, and especially with, you know, it was a pretty decent runtime, right? I can't remember exactly what it was, but I feel like they could have done a little bit more with the time they had. But at the end of the day, it's still a fun movie and still a good one for the most part. Not my favorite, though. At number 9, I have Miss Marvel. A lot of people might be surprised it's this high up, but with Iman Vellani especially, I think she's the one that really made that character for me, really made that show. I can't wait to see her in the Marvels. She's really the only reason I'm excited to see that movie, just because not only is her in real life such a huge Marvel fan and could probably outschool me about Marvel stuff, but like just her excitement and enthusiasm for being in the Marvel universe, it's infectious. I think she was perfect for the role. I can't wait to see more of her going forward. I don't know if there's plans to make another season of Ms. Marvel, but overall, just with her character in there and just moments with her family, like there were some really touching moments in that show when it comes to like family moments and stuff like that. I loved it. There's some really heartwarming stuff in that show that I very much appreciated. So yeah, there's lots of fun to be had with that one, and that's why I put it at number 9. At number 8, I have The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Not my favorite show by any means. I don't think it necessarily has a super strong villain. You know, at least with the characters of the Flag Smashers. But what it makes, or what it lacks with that, it makes up for in other characters that they have, like John Walker and Baron Zemo. And then seeing it by the end, you know, spoiler alert, but Sam Wilson becoming Captain America. And then just moments with him and Bucky in that show, them going back and forth. There's a lot of fun to be had with this one, and I'm looking forward to rewatching it eventually, probably before Captain America 4 comes out. So, yeah. Below that, I have, at number 7, WandaVision, the first Marvel series to come out on Disney+. And there's a lot of fun to be had with that show. While it might not have the strongest ending out of all the shows, you know, it's still the first Marvel show. And it's still the first thing of Phase 4. So it means a lot to a lot of Marvel fans because we remember wondering what the hell was going on, you know, every week with this show. You know, people were glued to it and people were talking about it. It's very much a cultural thing for Phase 4. And, you know, it's the first streaming MCU show. I mean, we had stuff like Daredevil and all that before, but we were never fully sure if that was connected or not, and now we kind of know, like, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, I don't even know. It's almost more confusing now. But yeah, WandaVision might not be the best show, but it was still the first one. You know, it might not be the best show in terms of, like, shows in general, I mean, not, like, out of the MCU. But, like, I don't know. There's a lot of fun to be had with it. You know, the character of Agatha, and, you know, seeing Billy and Tommy in there, you know, even though it's necessarily not Quicksilver, seeing Quicksilver in there, If you haven't seen WandaVision, then I'm spoiling stuff for you, but there's fun moments in it. So, yeah, I mean, it was the first show, so it deserves to have a higher up spot on the list. But at number six, I have the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. Not sure if it's just because this just came out and I'm excited about it, and that's why it's close or higher up on the list. But, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of fun with this holiday special. It had heartwarming moments. You know, it was fun to see the characters, the Guardians again, and also it was just freaking hilarious as hell. You know, I think this is the better of the two, special presentations that they put out on the platform. So yeah, I hope they make more like this. I'm very excited to also see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. This just makes me even more excited for that. So yeah, at number six, I have the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. At number five, I have Hawkeye, one of my favorite shows for sure from the MCU. I love the Christmas tone to it. I love the villain that you get revealed in the second to last episode, and then seeing him in the last one. Can't wait to see him again in the future. You know, setting things up with the character of Echo. You know, there's a lot of fun to be had with this one, and it's on more of a street level too. Hawkeye is a character personally I've always liked. Especially since Age of Ultron, where he had that moment where he's talking to Scarlet Witch about, like, the city is falling, and I have a bow and arrow, and none of this makes sense, but you're an Avenger now, you know? I'm paraphrasing, but, like, that moment is when I was like, oh, shit, Hawkeye's the one that everybody else can relate to, you know? He's the guy, you know? He's just a human. And in this show, you also get introduced to Kate Bishop. I almost said Kate Bush. but yeah, she's great in this show too. I think perfect casting with her character. All around a really fun show. I mean, I even have the poster up. So yeah, Hawkeye is at number five, one of my favorites for sure. But not my favorite, because at number four, we have Loki Season 1. I absolutely love this show. Anytime anybody asks me what this show is like, I'm just like, basically this is Doctor Who for the MCU. That's essentially what it is, and I love it for that. I love Tom Hiddleston as Loki. Loki is one of my favorite Marvel characters in general, you know, at least from the MCU. You know, Owen Wilson is great in here. I think he has a really good back and forth with Tom Hiddleston. Also, Sylvie in here, I think she's fantastic. Yeah, I mean, and that finale, too. A lot of people don't quite like it just because it's slowed down. It's like a slower finale, but I absolutely love it. And the implications of it is absolutely insane. I can't wait for Season 2 of Loki, and I have a feeling Loki might play into Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania as well, possibly, I don't know. But yeah, absolutely love this show. Out of all the Marvel Disney Plus shows I would rewatch, Loki would be the first. Number 3, I have Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, one of my favorite Marvel movies in general. I would definitely say it's at least in my top 10, if not my top 5. Something about this movie is just very rewatchable for me. I love the story to it. I love the acting, but most of all, I really love the martial arts in the film, especially that bus scene. Even though it's early on, that bus scene is so cool. But I just love the martial arts aspect of this movie. It's really fun. It's really energetic. And, it's a movie I always enjoy when I rewatch. I watched it like 3, 4, possibly even 5 times in the theaters. I watched it a lot. So, yeah, this is one of my favorites for sure. At number 2, I have Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Really, really great movie. Would I say I like it more than the first Black Panther? Not quite, but it is such a really powerful movie. It's moving emotionally. I cried both times watching it. I've only seen it twice so far. I really want to watch it again, but it's one of those movies that's going to stick with me because of the impact that it had on me in terms of my emotions in the film. When a movie can make me cry, that's usually when I know a movie has done something right. And that movie hit me hard. I won't lie. I think it has a really great story to it. It has a really great villain as well. And overall, just the heart of the film and the anguish that you can feel from not only the actors, but the characters for losing not only the character of their brother, of their son, but also somebody who they knew personally in real life, who was a friend and a colleague. You know, you could feel that emotion throughout the film. And, you know, would I say I'm happy about Chadwick Boseman dying? No. But I am happy about the effects that it had on the film, because I think it made the film better than it probably could have ever been. Maybe, possibly, I don't know. I mean, would it have been better if Chadwick Boseman was still alive in the sequel? I think so, absolutely. I mean, of course, that's what everybody wants. But in terms of making a good movie with what you had, I think they did the best possible thing they could. But at number one, I'm sure you could probably guess what it is. It is Spider-Man No Way Home. Spider-Man is my all-time favorite superhero. I've loved him since I was a kid. Tobey Maguire was always the one I grew up watching. I also really like Andrew Garfield, even though I don't love his movies as much. But yeah, this movie is fantastic. Excuse me. I think I saw it like 4 times in the theater. Bought it as soon as I could on digital. I even went to see the re-release in theaters as well with the added scenes. So yeah, one of my favorite movies of the MCU in general, which is also kind of funny because it's also mainly a Sony movie than anything, but you know, it's great to see all three Spider-Men in there. It's great to see all the villains back as well. Fun to see Doctor Strange in there. Overall, it's a great movie. You know, is it the best Marvel movie of all time? I don't think so. I don't think it's my favorite Marvel movie. I think that probably has to go to Avengers Endgame, but in terms of Phase 4, it is the best movie, is the best, you know, project in general from Phase 4 of the MCU, in my opinion. So yeah, there's my ranking for Phase 4 of the MCU. What did you think? Did you agree with me? Did you disagree? Honestly, I'd love to see your list down below if you're willing to make that long of a list down in the comments. This is just my list, just my opinion. So if yours is different, that is completely okay. Not everybody's going to have the same opinion on that stuff, but I just ask that you kind of respect my opinion. I'll respect yours. But yeah, please let me see your list down in the comments below. I would love to know where you guys would rank things. But yeah, leave a like on the video, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you never hit it up. Never miss an upload. I almost said never hit an upload. Yeah, hit the notification bell so you never hit an upload. No. Yeah, so you never miss an upload. Okay, just hit that notification bell. Do me a favor, do that. Like, subscribe, all that shit. You know, comment down below with whatever you want. Next video, I should be reviewing season 1 of Wednesday, so stick around for that review coming out tomorrow. But yeah, thank you all for watching once again. I will see you in the next one.
Thank you all so much for listening. Once again, I'm on YouTube. If you go into the search bar and type in At The Film Punch, should find my channel from there. Also on Facebook and Instagram, At The Film Punch as well. But yeah, usually at the end of the episode is when I just ramble about whatever I want to talk about. In terms of my next review, though, Violent Night comes out fairly soon. I'm not sure exactly when I'm posting this this episode, but should be before that movie comes out. So that should be one of the next reviews, as well as the Santa Clauses episodes 3 and 4. I decided instead of reviewing it week to week, since it's not like a huge show with a lot of like groundbreaking stakes like Marvel shows, I figured like every other week would be cool and just like review 2 episodes in one video, you know? So that's probably what I'll do for that. Honestly, I don't even know if I posted or like put my review for that into podcast form. I'm starting to wonder if I actually did or not. I don't know if I did. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I don't know. But either way, go over to my YouTube channel, because now there might be stuff over there that might not be on the podcast. So, yeah, I mean, the podcast does have its own exclusive stuff on here past a certain point, you know, before my reviews for Moon Knight, I think. I think like before that is all the exclusive to the podcast stuff, because I deleted pretty much every episode of the podcast from my YouTube channel, just because I didn't like having all that clutter in there that nobody was ever really going to watch, just because it was audio form only, and that's boring for YouTube. Nobody wants to just look at a picture the whole time for like hours on end. The only thing I kept on there, that is just audio form is my interviews with people like The Real Rejects and stuff like that. I wanted to keep those on there at least. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm rambling at this point. I'm just going to go ahead and end the episode. But thank you all for listening. Once again, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at The Film Punch. I will see you in the next one.